Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you all are finishing off your week beautifully, focusing on the self-care. That's right now more than ever. And again, remembering self-care is about frequency. So focus on that, not when you need it most, but before you need it so as to not have to get into that danger zone. And again, we're all focusing on mental health. So make sure you're checking in with all those that you love. And some point in the conversation thrown in there, how's your mental health? I'll be asking all those I come in contact with that question to normalize talking about our mental health, but also to let them know that I'm a safe space with which to have that conversation. Let's talk about some other healthy things like healthy anxiety. Now, there's a healthy level of it. We don't want to overload or flood ourselves. So again, we're taking breaks from some of the triggering news and conversations, but I don't want us to lose that healthy level of anxiety that helps us maintain the social distancing. New York City right now is fining people anywhere from $250 to $500 if they're gathering in groups and not honoring social distancing. Why does that need to be happening? We as adults should be handling that on our own. Come on, guys. Now is not the time to be doing those meet and greets, those hangouts, those potlucks. It's a mess. Please flatten the curve. If not for you, for everyone else. I just today was having to watch the news, seeing the numbers spike in infections and deaths. All those ridiculous spring breakers who are hyper selfish and still had to go. The numbers are blowing up of people that are infected and bringing it home to their loved ones and family members. And we're seeing some musicians that have passed away. So you guys, we got to knock it off. It's horrifying. So we want that healthy level of anxiety that's reminding us that this thing is still a big deal. You know, the U.S. is the epicenter right now, and we haven't even reached the peak. So pull together, y'all. We're all in this together, and we all need to be doing a lot better with this than we are. So that's the headline right there. Okay, so some good news. Local nail salon turns into a makeshift face mask sewing station. Love it. They said, we're trying to do whatever we can at this moment to give back. We've been in this country. It's done a lot for us. At a time like this, at a moment of time, it's really hard for everyone. We're doing what we can. We all should be doing what we can. I am warmed, my little heart, to see everyone giving back. I'm seeing tons of people working on sewing masks. We have good old Lizzo, who buys lunch for some ER staff members. We have certain restaurants and companies like Starbucks and some donut places that are giving free coffee or massive discounts to frontline healthcare workers. That is beautiful. This is a collective thing, y'all. Now more than ever, we're passing things along. So we got to pay attention. Every decision we each make in terms of our hygiene and our physical proximity to others is impacting the greater world. Now, for those that are getting stir crazy, yeah, keep your friends in line. That's how we reduce this, because it got extended to the end of April. And let me tell you, personally speaking, I do not want to bump it into March, June, and July. But if we don't all join together and pull together, that's what's going to happen. I personally need to get back to my regular life. So if for no one else, do it for me. But please do it for the loved ones and those around you. Hospital doctors are being told that they will be fired if they speak out about lack of gear. Now, that's that healthy anxiety. Again, I'm seeing pictures of doctors that are taking those plastic containers that you buy your baked goods in, and they're wearing them on their faces because they don't have the protective gear they need. They are in the epicenter of the COVID-19. They're literally working on patients that have come up positive and that are coughing up the droplets. Doctors should not need to be wearing baked good containers on their faces. And so I'm thankful that they're talking out, because if they don't, that doesn't push the designers to work on the masks. It doesn't push the churches and everyone else who has these N95 masks to donate them. And it doesn't put pressure on our crappy president who is not taking this serious enough. So we got to be working on that one. So let's take our healthy anxiety and use it to motivate ourselves to flatten the curve, to keep distance, to keep our loved ones accountable, including our president. Yeah, that's right. A Florida pastor was arrested because he refused to close his megachurch despite rules. This guy had 4,000 plus members that he was still telling to come to church because he said he won't shut the doors until the end times. Well, guess what, y'all? The sheriff detained him, charged him on 2 counts of unlawful assembly and a violation of health emergency rules. I love that. The police said, and I quote, "His reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in his congregation at risk, as well as thousands of residents who may interact with them." Look, I was talking on air the other night about the choir members. They still got together for practice. 40 of the 50 came back positive. 2 dead. Guys, we got to take this seriously. Whole Foods employees on Tuesday of this week, they staged a nationwide sick out because they are not feeling like their safety is being prioritized. Look, I'm seeing too much in the news of companies that are not telling their employees that individuals are testing positive, thereby giving them the awareness that they need to protect themselves or stay home. And yet, for some of these companies, upper management is staying home to protect themselves. But they have their workers still going to work and still putting themselves at risk. That is unacceptable. So is this one. A Brooklyn man was arrested for hoarding masks and coughing on FBI agents. This is disgusting. A Brooklyn man claimed to be infected with the virus, coughed on FBI agents who were investigating him for hoarding supplies. So he's facing assault charges and for making false claims. This is so heartbreaking. So basically, he was charged with price gouging because he was selling to doctors masks and marking them up 700%. Right now is not the time to capitalize on things. And then when the FBI agents come, you cough on them claiming that you are positive for the virus. This is a sign of like what's wrong with humanity and people. Like right now, your boss's decisions about how they're treating you, family members, it's speaking to everyone's character and integrity. We are paying attention. We are watching and you're showing your value and character. So y'all, we have to be doing better, please. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about homework separation and survival. How do we work from home and still manage our sanity? Oh, we're going to be talking about that. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. And let's talk a little bit about home, work, balance, and survival. Listen, for those that are blessed enough to still have a job, my heart goes out to those that have been laid off, unemployed, furloughed, whatever it is in your situation. My heart goes out to you. I can't imagine that kind of stress and pressure that's happening right now. For those that are blessed enough to still have a job and are working from home, I know the struggle for you. Maybe you're working home on your own. Great. Maybe you're working home with partners, children. Again, my heart goes out to you. It's a lot to manage at one time. We are not used to having to learn how to set these new boundaries. So let's talk about some things you want to consider. First off, let's talk about the sleep piece. Sleep is imperative, right? It's such an important part of our immune functioning. So consistent sleep. Now, the way we do that is by going to bed and waking up at the same time. I know it's really easy to not worry about that, to let the hours wander, to stay up very late and sleep in. And for those, hey, it might work. Do it. But for others, it's not going to help them. It's going to make them feel groggy. It's going to make them feel tired. It's going to throw them off. They're not going to feel motivated and productive. And if you still got work to do, stick to your normal work hours. That routine is going to help keep you normal and familiar. It's going to build that in for you. Also, changing your clothes. I know that sounds wacky to some people, but there's this transitional period that happens when we go from one identity to the other. So if you're not feeling motivated and focused, change into your work clothes. That's a way to let your body know, especially your psychology, I'm at work now. It really helps that shift. Transitions are so important. And changing your clothing is what's going to help. Again, some people, they can work in their pajamas. Great, have at it. But for others, they don't feel like it's confining or compartmentalizing enough. Great, put on your work clothes. Also, designated workspaces. Look, if you are blessed enough to have an office, go into your home office. For others, it's going to be going into a separate room. The dining room, the bedroom, that is now your office. For some people, though, they're going to create an area of a room as their workspace. That's going to help, too. Only use that area when you're working. When you're not working, exit that area. Again, that transition, that psychological barrier and shift says I'm at work now, and it helps you transition back out when you leave that space. So know that that's going to be really important, meaningful. Set up a little workspace, put all your work needs there. Stay confined to that area when you're working. Also, taking breaks. Again, time creep. It'll happen. Hours will go by. So do pay attention to the clock. Build in your lunch. Take your lunch. Build in your dinner. Whatever you normally do, keep that routine. That will, again, normalize this. Now, you're going to need to sit down and have a family conversation and do what we call a family contract. Hey, y'all, I'm at work when I'm in this area. Hey, y'all, this is the work hours. Please, when I'm during these hours or when I'm in this space, I'm at work. Please don't interrupt me. Please honor that that is my work time. I'm accessible before or after, or however you want to run that, but let family members know that when you enter that space or when you change your clothing or between those hours, that that is work time. We're all in this together. This is not forever, but let them know in the meantime, that's how it's got to be. It's coming up for people that are also having their kids doing schooling from home, letting them focus on that during those times. Also still eating. Some people feel like they're eating too much. Some people are eating too little. So just make sure you are still eating consistently. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, taking some snack breaks between that. But again, as much normalcy as possible. And finally, clocking out. Work cannot be endless. You cannot be on call at all hours. It's okay to have a point at which work doesn't exist anymore. You shut the computer, you step away from the workspace, whatever it's going to be for you, have a clock out time, a clock in and a clock out. Because again, fun, leisure, and pleasure are going to be the antidotes to burning out or getting exhausted or sadly also dripping, you know, into some depression, you know, so making sure that you really have that balance. Some people feel like their worth is tied to their work and their productivity. Please tie your work and value, your worth and value also to leisure and pleasure. That's the self-care piece. And I want people to be proud of that. Hey, after 8 p.m., I'm not accessible anymore. That is time for me to do self-care. I want us to start talking more about that and to really honor and see the worth and value in that. And finally, some people are needing some things to disconnect. So headphones, that's going to be one of your best friends, putting in your music. Again, not everyone's able to literally exit and go somewhere else. If you have a back door, outdoors and things like that, that's great. Utilize that. But again, for a lot of us, it's going to be creating those spaces in our home, because if we can't find a way to pull this off, it's going to be a long haul. You know, they keep extending this social distancing piece and non-essential work. So we're not sure how long it's going to be going on for. I keep advocating for everyone really honoring that and following the rules, thereby shortening it. But again, we don't know how long this is going to happen. So really build in those structures. I can't impress upon you enough the importance of taking care of these things now and not doing it when you're in a crisis. This is how we prevent the crisis from happening, building in all the needed structures and tips ahead of time. So if you don't think that this is for you or it's needed, again, do it anyway. This is what's going to help prevent you from getting there. Before we close out, though, I want to also swoop in and share with you, there's a lot of things that are still happening in the news that are really problematic. So I want to keep us abreast of what's happening. Republican governor just signed two of the most horrifically transphobic bills in American history. And this is made into law. They're slipping this in right now. They're getting away with some stuff. This is happening in Idaho. Republican Idaho Governor Brad Little, listen, buddy, shame on you. He's basically declared war on the trans community. This is heartbreaking. Basically, they're being made into second-class citizens. We still have so much work to do, and he's setting us back. So two things have been put into law. First one is HB 509. And basically, that prevents, it bans transgender people from being able to change their gender on their birth certificate. That has now been banned in Idaho. This is horrible. It basically asserts that you cannot make any change and that your biology-based definition of sex, what you were diagnosed at birth, is going to be something you are stuck with. That is a mental health issue. That is a human rights violation. And the second bill is HB 500, and that's on school and colleges not having to allow transgender individuals from playing the sports that is aligned with their identity. That is horrific. So this is getting pushed back. So we still, although we have to pay attention to COVID-19 based things, we still have to keep our mind open for other human rights violations. So again, shame on you, Idaho Governor Brad Little. All right. You are listening to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
Okay. Welcome back. And now it's time for some couples therapy.
Couples therapy.
So, of course, we got licensed therapist Rebecca Sheeta with us. What's up, Rebecca?
Not much. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of trying to start off all my engagements with others by asking them to get the conversation normalized and to get people to focus on it. How is your mental health?
My mental health. You know, I think right now it's pretty good. I think it's okay. I've been cooking a lot, and that actually really centers me.
I love that. It's so interesting to see what emerges. Has cooking always been centering for you, or is that something that you found during isolation?
I love cooking. I always have. And now it's kind of exciting because my daughter's a vegetarian. So I'm now trying like lots of different recipes, and I just made like dal, you know.
Oh, delicious.
Red lentil dal.
Yeah. Delicious.
I thought of you. I was like, I should give some to Chris.
Yes.
Leave it on your doorstep.
On my doorstep, because you are not coming in. So this kind of goes into the question I want to talk about tonight, and this actually came in through a question that Loveline got asked, and the question was basically around an individual. It was a female, and she says, I'm married, I'm with my husband, my kids, you know, we're self-isolating, all that's well, but I'm also having an affair with someone, and I'm wanting to continue the affair because it's helping me get what I need right now, and I also know now's not the time to create any conflict or discord in my marriage. And I thought, there's so much to unpack in that statement.
Oh my gosh, so much.
So where do you go first in your head when you hear that question, that story?
Well, I guess my first thing is, the first thing I think is, wow. But I also know that, like, of course, people all over the country are having affairs, and before it was probably pretty easy to continue those affairs.
Yeah,
right? Because
the stakes are higher now, right? Because you're leaving the house,
right,
and possibly touching and contaminating and bringing it home. Yeah.
Well, not only that too, but it's like, what's your excuse for leaving?
Oh,
you know,
that's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, is that so essential? But I do think it's essential, but I'm just saying that, you know, you don't have the excuse, the built-in excuses like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, run this errand or whatever. It's like, you're supposed to only leave for essentials. So how do you continue that? Right.
Yeah.
So that makes it difficult. I guess this is something to put on the back burner, but people are going to have to really look at their relationships probably in a much clearer way when this is passed, because we don't have the ability to juggle like that. And maybe it's a good time to think, is this really what you want? Are you going to continue the affair? Do you want to continue the relationship? Especially if those rules weren't established in your relationship, meaning, you know, do you have a monogamous relationship? And if so, having an affair is not fair to your partner.
Yeah,
right?
And that's what's so interesting is, like, we're being forced to maybe have a new relationship with our bodies because we're eating differently, our exercise routine's different.
Yes.
But also with the partners, you're like, yep, I'm definitely working on that. I am as well, because this whole home workout thing is not working for me, but that's a topic for a different show. But I mean, it's a whole show, that one. But I think it's so interesting because the question just implied that of all the ways that one can resolve whatever relational issue they're trying to solve with cheating, like, now is not the time to have highly conflictual conversations. So there was a little help,
right,
in that understanding. Like, yes, now's not the time when we can't escape, when we can't get a lot of breathing room. Now's not the time to bring that in. But you can put the cheating on hold until all this resolves, and you can return to your partner and say, we need to talk about the state of our marriage.
I love that. That to me is, that is the way to go. Absolutely. I mean, I think that if you're really exercising social distancing, or, like, I like to call it physical distancing more than social distancing, but if you're really exercising that, then it really is going to give you some time to get clear on what your next steps are relationally.
Yeah, because that should be what the,
right,
focus is. Not, is it okay that I'm leaving to have my affair and come back? And aren't I being smart and loving by not bringing up the topic yet? And it's like, well, that's in there, but, like, maybe put it on pause, because that's not an essential need. Your sexual needs met in that way. Like, maybe actually try to create with your partner the sex life you want to have, or that you're having with this other, and maybe you'll surprise yourself.
And I love
yourself.
That too.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that too, if that's a possibility. I mean, I think this time is really going to help us get very clear about the people that are important to us, the people we want to continue relationships with, friendships and otherwise.
Yeah, because
I think
it's easy sometimes to accept what we have with a partner as all that's possible, and we kind of collude in maintaining that. But it's like, maybe,
sure,
try to push on that a little bit, because maybe your partner will surprise you, and maybe there's small ways to talk about the quality of your relationship without blowing it out of the water while self-isolating. But, like, yeah, put a pause on the extracurriculars, focus on the family you have, find the joy and fun in what you have. It is not forever.
Right.
And when
nothing
this resolves,
is.
Right. And when this resolves, you can then talk to your partner and say, listen, this hasn't been working for me. And if you want to work on it, get in a couples therapy, do so. Or if you want to leave, then do so. But like, put the cheating on pause right now. There's so many multiple layers of risk, like the physical risk, the emotional risk. I just think it's bad timing.
Yeah, I love that. I love this. It's 100%. I agree with you. 100%.
But I do like the idea, and I guess the takeaway I want for our listeners is just like right now, yeah, now's not the time to have really triggering, conflictual conversations. Focus more on what is working. When things are resolving, you know, COVID-wise, we can circle back to the bigger issues. But in the meantime, just focus on connection and love, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, see if you can, even on just friendship and being civil. And, you know, for some of us, maybe we are in very conflictual relationships.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a time to really try to work on our own containment and our own happiness, if possible.
Rebecca Ishida, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at HungryBecca and my website, RebeccaIshida.com.
Beautiful. Stay safe and be well.
You too.
Have an awesome night.
You too.
You're listening
Bye.
To Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and Radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. The Red Bull has kicked in. All cylinders are firing on full. We got a question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what is off limits on social media when you are in a relationship? I feel like this is an ongoing theme we're having. Defining the relationship, boundaries in a relationship, cheating and monogamy. All right, but guess what? It's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because this is a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, I've been seeing my significant other for over 2 years. I'm deeply in love with him, but I'm frustrated that he hasn't given me an orgasm through penetration like ever. I've had many of them through oral, but I'm frustrated. My partner's on the smaller side. I thought the size of one's package was a myth when it came to orgasming. Should I introduce toys or vibrators? I feel like I want to bring it up to him, but not in a way that will make him feel bad. Any suggestions? Yeah, 1,000 of them. First off, only 1/3 of women orgasm through penetration. So if you are not in that 1/3, don't expect for that to happen. Most women, 2/3, require... I don't even know if I can say this on air.
I don't.
Okay. Most women require another form of stimulation that's more externalized, I'll say. Thank you, FCC regulations. So you are probably not in that 1/3, which is why oral works for you, because it oral allows the stimulation of the external area that is required for you to orgasm. Should you use toys and vibrators? Yeah, 100%. For a multitude of reasons. One, sex is a broad-based thing, and I want people to be really diverse and creative and not always require sex to be penetration, because sex is far bigger than just penetration, right? But as far as bringing it up to your partner, no, that's body shaming. You should not bring up. Just like you wouldn't want your partner to come to you and talk about aspects of your body that is not necessarily ideal in their mind. That's not an act of care or love. What is sex about? Sex is about fun and connection and intimacy. And there's a multitude of ways to do that. And if you're going to be obsessed with penetration or penis size, then again, you're not talking about care or love, and you're not necessarily a safe partner to be with, right? So use vibrators and toys and accept your partner the way he is. All right, next one. Hey, Loveline, your discussion about cheating yesterday made me want Dr. Chris's thoughts on my situation. I'm with a man of 17 years. 17 years older. We've been together for almost 2. Everything's been great since day one. 2 months ago, I caught him talking to another woman. We talked about it. Things were amazing. 3 weeks ago, I open his laptop. Facebook pops open and a message from her pops up. It was a naked photo of her. I was upset. I looked at his other messages and he's been telling her things he tells me. He misses her. Can't wait to see her, he says. So I calmed down, confronted him. I got mad. I moved out. So he texted me several times asking why I moved out. I explained, but he tells me he didn't do anything physical. I'm still irritated with him, but I still love him and I don't want to be hurt. I don't know what to do. Okay, so this is not a very uncommon one, right? Technology has given us access to other people all day long in a multitude of ways. And so unfortunately, it's available on those days when we are kind of in that gray area. So as we talked about the other day, every couple has to talk about what monogamy means for them. But you both have to agree, because you might not always see it the same way. Sex can be both physical and psychological as you're learning. And so even though he might not have physically touched them, yes, you can still psychologically be having sex with them by looking at photos and talking dirty. So if you can't agree on what is going to be decided as cheating in your relationship, or if they're not going to honor it, then you're going to have to be in a new relationship. Otherwise, you're going to be really uncomfortable for a long time. So work on that. Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. You're listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
We have now Patty Stanger of Millionaire Matchmaker joining us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
How are you doing in quarantine?
I'm doing my best. How are you doing?
Good. It seems to be, you know, time to clean your house and throw the crap away and cook.
I
want to buy all these cooking gadgets online because I'm obsessed with cooking right now. So, yeah.
I think that might be the one positive thing that comes out of this is me learning how to cook.
That's great. If you're single, that's a great thing to, give your mate.
Yeah. People are trying to get me to get into the cooking thing. So I wanted to talk to you about the impact you think that COVID-19, self-isolation, social distancing, how do you think that that's going to change the dating relationship game?
You know, it's a 50-50 thing. So 9/11, when it happened, I'm one of the few companies, they made a fortune when the banks opened up because people heard the call from their loved ones on the plane and they were like, oh my God, I don't want to die before I have love. I'm hoping, not financially, but I'm hoping this changes the game to people to have serious relationships and stop the hooking up and stop, you know, not getting connected and being on their phones and dating ADD. I'm hoping that they realize when we get back to real life, this taught us a lesson that relationships are more important than technology. That's what I'm hoping.
So how about this one? This is going to really set you off. Are you aware that people are still hooking up right now in our current environment with all that's going on in the pandemic?
Yeah. Yes. So I was sick before COVID-19. I don't have COVID-19, but I had cluster headaches and I was down in my house and I was already in self-isolation. I was like recovering from, it's like having a bad migraine, but it lasts like 3 weeks. It's horrible. And so the bottom line was I was getting reports from people before we just went into full-on quarantine that they didn't care. The millennials didn't care. And I think it had a lot to do with the CDC when they got on television and they said, oh, young people aren't getting it, which I knew was not the truth, that it spring breakers and all these people are like, if I get corona, I get corona. Are you kidding me? First of all, you could spread it without having any symptoms. So I was furious. So I wrote letters to every single app on my Twitter. We did it to our company and local matchmakers and said, please tell clients not to meet in person. Let's do FaceTime dating. And FaceTime dating was a really big asset. Most people have an Apple phone. And, you know, even though Bumble and the League have internal video chat, this was important. This was huge. I didn't want anybody meeting anyone in person. And I was such an advocate for 3 weeks that I was screaming at the apps. And now the apps are sending personal messages out to their clientele saying, please do not meet in person. But I can't stop, you know, people doing this. Like, I think the young people think they're immune. I'm now with Colton Underwood from The Bachelor and the star of Frozen, and younger people like in their 20s are getting it. Maybe people will start paying attention.
And that's what I'm hoping.
Because you should not be meeting in person at all.
Thank you for saying that like that. And thank you for doing the work you were doing about getting other apps on board, because every city's Department of Public Health is saying the exact same thing. Like, everyone in unison is saying, don't be touching, you know, the safest sex right now is sex with yourself. Use technology.
I got to be really honest. I'm pissed at the celebrities, okay? And even though I'm one of them, I'm not going out. I'm autoimmune. I have Hashimoto's, so I can't go out. I'm in an age group that's not, this is not good for it. So, like, you see Ramona from Housewives down in Boca. She's not going out. A lot of my friends on these Housewives shows, like Kyle Richards, has fibromyalgia. These are autoimmunes, like Lady Gaga. But what I don't understand is, I don't mind Starbucks being open and putting coffee, shops up by the hospitals, firefighters, you know, police, grocery stores. But when you have when you have your Starbucks open and your celebrity is walking to get coffee, that is not a necessity.
And I agree with you. And I think, like you're saying, some of the younger individuals, they feel invincible. Other people, they think they have enough money, resources. It's a joke, right?
Because it's bike riding. I saw Nina Dobrev and Shaun White. How long have they been dating? And they're taking a bike ride around the street. Like, I'm sorry, this is not a time to take risks. This is a time to stay inside And if you need sun, start taking vitamin D supplements like everybody else.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for that so much. So are you hoping what I'm hoping, which is what will also come out of this, is a return to a more standard form of dating,
yeah,
like deeper level?
Traditional courtship.
Yeah.
Traditional courtship. I do believe that if you start FaceTiming, and by the way, here's a couple of rules on FaceTime. One, don't do it in your house where you show a lot of your personal stuff so they can figure out where you live. There are a lot of stalkers out there. Do it in your kitchen. Everyone's got a kitchen, bright sunlight. You look the best in sunlight if you don't have a light like the Kardashians do. Second of all, connect. Sit there and talk to them. Find out about their lives, their hobbies, their interests. What do they do for a living? What do they? How do they spend their downtime? Are they a good dad or are they a bad dad? Like I really believe if you did this for good, I don't know how long we're going to be in it. By the time it's over, you might be in a relationship, which you don't even realize. Long distance does this. People in the Army do this all the time.
They zoom in.
So it definitely can bring courtship back. I just don't want to forget it, you know, and, oh, yeah, that was an experience we had, and now I forgot it. Now I'm going back to hooking up. I don't want that. I want people to start to realize, for those who single people who are self-isolation alone, it is a terrifying time for them, 18 to 80. It doesn't matter what age you are. It is a terrifying time that you're all by yourself. You have no partner. You're watching Instagram with the hot couples and their sweatpants and their loungewear and cooking together, and you're feeling very lonely right now. You know, I'm wondering if the suicide rate's going to go up.
That's
because these singles are going through hell right now.
Yeah.
Just know that you two can connect on an app. You can join my club. You can do a lot of other things out there. And that you just might find your soulmate in this trying time. You have something in common right now to talk about.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I know that some people are following the protocol, thankfully. They're meeting online. They're building these other levels of intimacy. They're calling it like quarantine boyfriends and girlfriends. What I didn't like that I heard is in people always trying to kind of push the rules a little bit, there are some people that are making quarantine packs where they're saying, we won't be with anyone else. We won't leave the house otherwise, but we will allow us
ridiculous.
To meet up.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
I was saying that too.
That is ridiculous. You don't know you love someone until you meet them in person, but
right.
Don't go meet in person. Take this as a time of investigation. Is this person worth it for me to take it to the next level? Everybody has to do that. So if that means we're in quarantine for 3-6 months, you're just going to have to do that. I mean, there's no other way to say it. In person is completely different. First of all, women fall in love through their nose. The neurotransmitter in their nose smells the man to know whether or not they want to proceed. And then the second step is their ears. So they can semi-fall in love with you if they're listening to you. Men are all visual. So a lot changes when you meet in person. You might have this great love affair on FaceTime, and you get in person and you're like, that didn't work. Womp, womp, womp. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You got to take it slow and not believe the hype.
All right.
Get to know someone. Get to know someone. I also think that the other thing with quarantine love, like Love is Blind, my friends made Love is Blind over at Kinetic, that the people are doing this Love is Blind quarantine groups. They're having like groups, I think it's called Quarantine Love. It's something I saw online. A group of people wanted to get someone fixed up. You can actually have your friends meet the person and say, do you think that guy's a good dude? Do you think he's real?
Hmm.
You know, you
I'm
can use Spokio to background check them as well.
God bless background checks.
Yes, Spokio check to make sure they live where they say they live. They work at, you know, not everything is LinkedIn.
Right.
They can say where they live, what they own, blah, blah, but you do Spokio background check on them. If you're not 100% sure, if you're going with your gut and you don't feel this guy or girl is worth it, gay, straight, doesn't matter, fluid, pink polka dot, don't go there. Your guidance system is your gut.
Love that. Patty Stanger, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Have a beautiful night.
Have a great show.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Right now, the U.S. is leading the world in coronavirus confirmations. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because I want to make sure that we are continuing to take social distancing and self-isolation seriously. Because again, what we choose to do is going to impact our own health and mental health, but also the health and mental health of those around us. We have to continue to listen to the experts and the scholars and the scientists in the field as they tell us that we have to continue to wash our hands, keep distance from one and, you know, everyone around us. We can still be exiting our homes to go grocery shopping or to get some fresh air and sunlight, but please make sure you're honoring the 6-foot distance. I know it can be difficult. We're all starting to get really stir crazy and lonely, and we're wanting
learning to kind of fudge the rules and push those boundaries, but we have to look out for ourselves and those around us, so please honor and manage that better. Now, I want to talk for a minute about pleasure and leisure. Right now, it's important that we are maintaining structure and that we're starting our day by planning a day, getting washed, changing. We've talked about how important it is to transition from our casual time to our work time so that there's meaning. Time creep is real. And a lot of people are talking about the fact that they don't even know what time it is or actually even sometimes what day it is. I saw someone post on their Facebook what the day of the week was, and I had a moment where I thought, wow, I didn't even realize that was happening myself. So again, I'm following all the tips I'm giving you, but we're talking a lot about things like laziness. Now, for some individuals, their mental health is mandating that they are following up on work plans and that they're setting goals and they're writing and they're producing and they're on top of their emails. But for some of us, it's going to be important that we are allowing some rest and downtime. Now, we live in a hyper-productive culture, but our immune system, our mental health mandates that we are taking time away. So make sure you are napping and make sure you are resting now more than ever. It's okay to take a little bit of a step outside of our standard grind culture and just go easy on ourselves, centering pleasure and leisure. A lot of us have our identities tied to the work we do. And so some of us are struggling to understand who we are in the world now. If we've been laid off, unemployed, underemployed, or just changing our work-life balance. So again, give yourself a break. It's all about care and compassion. Because again, rest is restorative. So care and compassion means letting yourself off the hook a little bit if you're not following the structures that you are traditionally comfortable and expecting of yourself, and also doing the same for those around you. We want to also talk about our mental health. And so here is a little mental health check-in list. These are the things that we can do every day to be checking in on our self-care. So let's go through this list. The first thing you can do every day is start your day by asking yourself, what am I grateful for? That sets a positive tone, as opposed to reaching for your phone and looking at the news and recent corona updates, which instead starts your day with you feeling anxious and ungrounded. So again, start the day, ask yourself, what am I grateful for? Also, in what ways and with whom am I going to connect to today? Because again, we're working on reaching out to others, letting them connect to us, but also making sure we're not getting lonely and isolated, because it's about physical distancing, not social distancing. We also want to look at expectations we have on ourselves. It's going to be a new normal. You're not going to have your standard day or your standard routine. Be flexible. Hold it loosely. Allow yourself to have a day that is not necessarily the normal or the standard. Also, making sure you're going outside. In what ways am I going to go outside for sunlight and fresh air? Of course, in a self-isolative way and also maintaining distance from others. And finally, how today am I going to move my body? Because movement is part of physical health, but also part of mental health. So I advise you to go through that checklist every single day. Again, it sets you off on a positive tone, sets you off with a little bit of structure, and also, again, is helping you focus on self-care.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. It's that time again. Slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding to the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want y'all to explore with confidence. All right, here's an interesting DM that came into our Loveline, what, DM box? How does that go? What do you call it? Anyway, here we go. Third party consent, that's its title. Friendly flirting interrupted by their friend who pulled me aside and told me not to hit on them. See, I don't know what that's about, but we'll go deeper in. Respected that boundary, kept it platonic, and the flirter became persistent. And then finally got frustrated over about an hour and eventually assertively accused me of rejecting them despite the chemistry. I love this caveat. Everyone involved was deeply intoxicated, so I wasn't making moves anyway. Just the cost of being responsible about a friend looking out? Interesting question. Whenever someone's telling me a story that involves people being intoxicated, I really don't give much credence to it.
it because it's really hard to weigh in on awareness and boundaries. Not that anyone's let off the hook because of their drunken behavior, because FYI, if you make poor decisions when you're drinking consistently, stop drinking. That's called being an adult. However, I'm not sure I understand. I have 1,000 more questions about the situation. I don't know why a friend is weighing in on you flirting with their friend. It's like, be a good friend and just sit quietly over there as I'm flirting, right? Isn't that usually the rule? I used to have a friend that would do that, actually. Actually, he would do the opposite. I'd be flirting with someone, and he'd jump in and start flirting with them. Needless to say, we're not friends anymore. That's kind of the situation in reverse. Yeah, I'm not really sure what to say. I think it's really great that you are so compassionate that if someone says, hey, stop hitting on my friend, you're like, sounds cool. I'm not sure why this person got so assertively frustrated that you were, quote unquote, rejecting them as they saw it, but... good on you. Responsible friend looking out. I don't know. I'm not down with this third party consent thing. It's a new term for me. We'll figure that out down the road. Okay. Next DM. Hey, Dr. Chris, I've been dating my guy now for about 2 months. We're seeing each other about 3 to 4 times a week and every weekend. See, I like that. That's how I date. Backpack style. Always around. We started out as friends, and I didn't expect it to go beyond that. Then I realized he was attracted to me, blah, blah, blah. My question is, when does one stop accepting contact from other people, like going out with other people, exchanging numbers, etc.? Should this be an implicit understanding or explicit? He made it a point to tell me he doesn't like to share. I responded with, me neither. What do you think? Well, if he said, I don't like to share, and you said, me neither, that's somewhat explicit of an agreement that you will not be talking to other people, flirting with other people. But, you know, I'm a fan of concretizing things. So, look, saying to someone, hey, I think you're really great. I want to make this more serious. Let's kind of cut out engagement with other people. That's a compliment. So... don't be threatened to bring that up as a topic. Interested people like signs of interest, right? So if he's on the same page, like it sounds like he is, in saying that he doesn't like to share, there should be no problem with you bringing it up for clarification. But I'm all about clarification and transparency. So I would circle back and say, yo, remember that conversation where you say you don't like to share? Was that you asking me to not talk to other people? Because I'm there too. That's a beautiful moment. So circle back and have that conversation. All right, sliding into the DMs is brought to you by Trojan Condoms, because it is a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. That is our show. You guys have an awesome, awesome night, and I'll see you later.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.